Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
The Bible verse is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 to 17, and Psalm 95, 1 to 7. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for reading that, Sarah. My name is Sam. I am part of the staff team here at Emmanuel. I look after communications, and I also look after the brilliant production team, including the wonderful Paul and Ben, who are here to help us see and hear everything, and especially Ben has a 31-page PowerPoint to put up with, so I'm especially thankful to him this evening. I only preach once or twice a year, but I'm very excited tonight that I'm talking on one of my favourite topics, worshipping together. Worship has been such a huge part of my life. It was in a time of corporate worship in Peterborough at an event called The Point where I realized that having spent 13 years growing up in church, I was definitely a Christian. And from there, I got involved with worship bands, I started to lead worship, and then I went on to study popular music and worship theology at Nexus ICA in Coventry. And after that, I became a worship pastor at a church in South London, continuing to study with the guys at Worship Central out of Gas Street Church in Birmingham. Worship has been such a huge part of my life, and I'm really excited that I get to talk to you about it tonight. Now, this is where I want to start before we go into the passages this evening. I want to answer the question, what does the word worship mean? I think it's one of those words that is one of those Christianese words that we kind of sort of know what it means. And that if someone grabbed us on Monday morning and says, what does worship mean? We might say, oh, it's singing, or it's what we do on Sunday. And while both of those are technically correct, it doesn't really give us the full picture of what it means to worship. And that's understandable because we use the term pretty loosely. We have worship services. We have times of worship within those services. Worship music itself has become its own genre of music. There's a whole worship industrial complex that's centered around selling you courses to learn guitar parts, to make you buy expensive equipment and other resources. It's become a job title and a degree. So what does it actually mean? Well, the word worship comes from the Old English worship, which basically means to attribute worth to. I've had to renew my car insurance recently, and by that, I mean my dad and my sister have been looking at car insurance quotes for me and calling the insurer to negotiate, and I have done absolutely nothing. Thank you, Dad. It's been very helpful. And part of that process is they tell you what they think your car is valued at and what they'll cover and what you need to give them in return. They are attributing worth to my car and telling me what I need to do in response. And when we talk about worship in the Christian sense, we are attributing worth to God and we are responding accordingly. I think a great quote that sums it up from Tim Keller really well is this: worship is seeing what God is worth and giving him what he's worth. Which feeds very nicely into what I'm talking about this evening, which is some of the ways that we do that. Tonight we have two clear messages from our passage. Firstly, that we are called together as members of one body from all of our different walks of life to come together in order to worship. And that one of the ways that we respond when we see God in his glory is we respond in song. I'll talk about both of these a bit tonight, but I also want to say at the outset that this isn't a complete picture of worship. Anything we do to direct our lives towards God is an act of worship. But I also want to say that the Sunday service, what we're all here to do tonight, is special. It's set apart from the rest of our week. And I will finish by talking a bit about what that means for Monday afterwards at the end. So let's get into what I'm actually preaching on tonight, which is worshiping together. Worship is not a solitary event, but a communal event. And it may seem strange in our increasingly individualized society, but God never intended us to live in isolation from one another. And while our personal faith and our walks with the Lord are really important, it's also important that we live out our faith together. As we heard from John last week, a huge part of the Christian life is living in community with one another. And Paul, in our passage tonight, has reminded us that we are one body and that our worship is beneficial to each other. We're currently going through a sermon series based around some of the chapter headings from the book Life Together by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. If you missed it last week, we heard how Bonhoeffer was a German Lutheran pastor during the Second World War, and he spent time both in and out of the pulpit resisting the Nazi regime before he ultimately lost his life after being arrested by them. And the chapters from Bonhoeffer's book, the one we're looking at tonight, is called The Day with Others. And although many of his thoughts on corporate worship aren't necessarily going to translate to us too well, as I imagine thoughts on the Bible and prayer will, for example, Bonhoeffer really wants to emphasize the importance of the morning service. And it'd be pretty ironic if I spent the next 20 minutes telling you that you should have been here this morning. What's important, though, is that our worship is with others. He highlights the importance of common praise, common hearing of the word, and common prayer. So we might say singing, reading the Bible, having intercessions and a confession. And while we can pray, read the Bible, and sing alone, the greater benefits are received when we do them together. Bob Kauflin is one of my favorite authors on worship. His books, Worship Matters and True Worshippers, have been big inspirations for me as I've explored worship studies. And he writes this: we meet together as redeemed saints to remind each other whose we are, how we got here, and why it matters. And the contents of our services are designed to do just that. In smaller, more personal ways, like hearing testimonies and having some interviews, as well as like the bigger scale stuff, the kind of whole story of creation and salvation scale, where we remember that from generation to generation, we are created in the image of God, and that we are here today as Christians because of what Jesus did on the cross for our salvation. In our morning service, we've just wrapped up a series looking at the book of Nehemiah. And a couple of weeks ago, we looked at chapter 8, when all the people come together to hear teaching from God. All the people came together as one. They hear Ezra read the book of the law. They bow down and they worship the Lord. Gathering together as a people of God to receive something from him is something we see throughout Scripture, from Exodus to Jesus' teaching, to the day of Pentecost and the times of the early church. People gather from God, they hear from him, and then there's a response to, a readjustment that brings them closer to God. And when this happens, we become strengthened as individuals and as one body. And of course, that's not to mention all the other amazing things that happen on Sunday. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says this. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. Meeting together as a church gives us the great ability to do these good deeds. We don't just consume in worship. We gather together to participate in worship as the church. Just think about how many people regularly give up their Sundays to serve at church. We've all got gifts. We've all got capacity to learn new skills. And therefore, we all have a place to serve. We meet together, and one of the ways that we respond is when we see how much God is worth, is that we serve for the benefit of the other members of the church. I'm pretty biased about how great the production team are. Seeing them serve with their incredible skills is one of the best things about working here. And so often it feels like they only get noticed when something goes wrong, like a microphone doesn't work at the start of the service, or when there's a late slide. But every Sunday we get to benefit from what they do. They give up, as well as the other people on a Sunday who give up their time to lead our sung worship, our kids ministry, our hospitality, especially with the really strong cake game this evening. Plus everything else that happens at Emmanuel week by week, all the ministries that Joe leads with the young families, Tuesday at 2, the Renew Lounge across the road. There's so much that happens, and so many people serve because they have seen what God is worth and they want to respond. And of course, there is simply the fact that when we come together, when we meet together on Sunday, it is a cycle that we repeat. We go out, we go to work, we go to the pub, our favorite coffee shop, and for many of us at Emmanuel, we go to the Selsdon branch of Sainsbury's, where I think I've encountered probably half the church over the last few years I've worked here. We're still Emmanuel Church then. We're apart, and then at the start of a new week, we are together again. To again quote Bob Cowflin, being one in Christ is more than meeting regularly in the same room, but it isn't less. Singing songs, reciting creeds, and reading scripture together are ways of declaring to myself and others that I'm part of the body of the Holy Temple, not just a random brick or loose stone. One of the things I've realized about myself is that I love to collect little trinkets. I love a reminder of something that I have really enjoyed. It's a way of declaring to myself some of the experiences and people and places that have formed me and been important to me. I've got this board at home covered in concert tickets, photos, my uni lanyard and badges, badges and lanyards from conferences. Plus, I've got rubber ducks that I bought on holiday and loads of different bits of Lego that I bought back from the Lego house in Legoland when I went there in Denmark a couple of years ago with my sister. When I look back at these things, I remember the highlights from my years at school, years at uni. There's the bag up there from when I was the best man to my best friend. It reminds me of who I am and how I got here. And when we gather as a church, for each of us and all of us together, when we spend time with God, it's a reminder of who we are and how we got here. Whether it's something smaller, like an answer to prayer to find your keys in the morning, or whether it's something bigger, like being healed from something. The beauty of the church is that we come together as people with different lives to remind ourselves what God has done for us, and then we can go about in the week to remember that God goes with us. He doesn't just exist in here, he exists out there too. For a while, I thought I could get away with Sunday, and that was it. My faith became a professional faith. I didn't need to worry about going with God. I worked at church. My 9 to 5, or 10 to 5:30, whatever hours I tend to work, Sally Ann knows. Those were the hours for God, and when I got home, that was my time. It wasn't sustainable. Gathering together helped me to remember to stop being lukewarm in my faith and got me excited to spend time with God during the week and on my own and with others. Gathering together is so important to our faith, so we do whatever we do for God. Paul says in his letter to the Colossians that the message of Christ dwell among you richly. And in that we remember the gospel and we give God what he's worth. We worship together in all sorts of ways, like through liturgy, we've had a confession this evening. Through sacraments, we took communion this morning. In a couple of weeks, we've got a baptism service. And one thing we do, Sunday by Sunday, without fail, is we sing. Going back to our two readings, whether we like it or not, we are called to engage in sung worship. Both of them say, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. We have two verses here in the Bible that tell us to sing. We sing because God tells us to. In fact, there are 400 verses in the Bible that reference singing, and 50 of those are direct encouragements to sing. Not only are we told to sing, it's modeled throughout the Bible. The Israelites sing when they've been led out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. The angels sing when they come and tell the shepherds the good news of Jesus. And we have a picture of worship in heaven too. In Revelation 5, it says, they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open the seals. So that's great, but why singing? Well, there's so many reasons for that. Bonhoeffer, despite some fairly strong feelings on style that suggest that he might not enjoy contemporary Christian worship all that much, says this to answer the question to why do Christians sing. The reason is quite simply because in singing together, it is possible for them to speak and pray the same words at the same time. And we know from Colossians that we are called to let the message of Christ, so things that Jesus and the Bible teach us, dwell amongst us in song. Songs are something that we use to help us remember what we've learned. I'm sure at school there was always an acronym or a little rhyme or a song to help you remember things. I don't know about you, but I find myself constantly going A, B, C, D, E, F, G, which are easy for musicians. But then I really need it to do H, I, J, I can't even remember it, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, because then I get lost. The lyrics stick with you. We are called to let the message of Christ, that the things that the Bible teach us, dwell among us with song. The amount of times I've used a song like Sovereign Over Us to remember something, like your plans are still to prosper, you've not forgotten us, you're with us in the fire and the flood. Faithful forever, perfect in love, you are sovereign over us. To remind myself that even though things are feeling pretty rubbish, God has a plan for me, he's not forgotten me. And ultimately, he is in control as sovereign God. And it's reflected in some of the songs that we've written at Emmanuel 2. When I write some of the lyrics to Never Be Contained from our Through It All EP, I wrote, even when I'm shaken, your goodness remains. And even when I lose sight, your love stays the same. To remind myself just that, that even when I'm struggling to see where God is or I'm in a difficult place, he's still the same as he ever was. The lyrics of songs help us learn more about who God is and remember it like children remember the alphabet. And of course, the together bit is really important too. We're doing the same thing at the same time. Looking at Colossians again, we are called to teach, admonish one another, basically meaning tell stuff, each other stuff about God through the medium of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, or songs, songs, and more songs. Corporate worship is not just about me and God, while say, David does David and God. It's about me and God, and David and God, and me and David. We're all in this together. When we sing a song like Who You Say I Am, like we did earlier, it's a reminder that not only am I a child of God, but I'm reminding you that you are children of God, and you're reminding me that I'm a child of God. We're all reminding each other. And maybe that answers the question about why some of our times of worship over at the center have felt so special. That we actually get to look at each other when we sing, and we're all bunched up close together, not miles away from each other in a half-empty space. Meeting in the round hits different. Looking back at our psalm for this evening, for the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands the depths of the earth and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. As I mentioned earlier, worshipping is seeing what God is worth and then responding accordingly. As Bonhoeffer puts it, the fact that we do not speak but sing expresses the fact that our spoken words are inadequate to express what we want to say. Praising the God who made the sea and the land Maybe our words fall short. Maybe they're inadequate for what we want to say. And our heart overflows. We want to do more than just say it. There's an overflow in the heart that means we sing. And our passage as well in Psalms speaks of bowing down and kneeling. Our very posture is affected. It was great this morning. I was playing bass. I was seeing Daniel and Lydia having a great time worshiping. They were really letting the worship affect their posture. Which brings us on to hand raising. Hand raising isn't really something we do a ton at Emmanuel. I grew up in a church where it was a bit more common and have attended churches and conferences and other events where it is just all over the place. I'm not sure if we're just really afraid that by doing this we are enacting the Lion King, or if standing here awkwardly we are asking for a high five, or if we just put our hand up all the way, we're going to get picked on because someone thinks we are volunteering to help with Reconnect, Rendezvous or Mayhem. But why we raise our hands has really helped me understand why we respond in worship. Because the question is, where do we see this posture in everyday life? Here we have three pictures. What are they doing? We have Tom Brady there, his hands raised in victory, probably because he's won yet another Super Bowl. We've got Loki from the Avengers film, his hands are up, showing that he's put his magical scepter down and he's ready to be taken prisoner. And then we have stock image child. I don't know where they're from. I don't exactly know what they're doing. I just needed this picture to illustrate this point. I really hope that out of shot somewhere, there is a parent who they're reaching out to, hoping to be picked up. We worship together to celebrate Jesus' victory over sin and death, that he died and rose again so that we could have eternal life. In worship, we surrender to God. We say, I give you control. In worship, we search for the Father to grow closer to him. When we come together for a church service in worship and the songs we sing, we say these things and more to God and to each other. So as we wrap up this evening, you might be wondering, Sam, are you basically telling us to come to church and sing? Yes. Come, engage with church, sing the songs, meditate on the scriptures, make the prayers your own. Open your heart to be transformed by the teaching, even there if there are some bits that you struggle to agree with. But that's not it. Tonight we're here for maybe about 90 minutes or so, plus there's some tea and coffee with the amazing cake, and then some of us are probably going to go off to the pub afterwards. But the rest of your week is still an act of worship. As you leave here, are you going to pop God back into the nice Sunday-shaped box that you have? When the alarm goes off, when your train is late, when the meeting you're in is just really dull, do you want to be aware of God's presence? Are you trying to find ways to direct your life towards God throughout that day? One of the books I read to prepare for the sermon by A.W. Tozer puts it like this. You cannot worship the Lord in the midst of your responsibilities on Monday. It's not very likely that you are worshiping on Sunday. Our passage tonight says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And believe me, it's hard. I often forget. My faith goes lukewarm. It's taken me most of my 29 years to become aware that I need to be better at giving God space to transform me through my day, that I need to make making everything I do for God, not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge. I'm still learning, but I want to encourage you to do this. Give God your attention. Fix your thoughts on him regularly. Give him your affection. Continue to grow in love for him and have an ambition to become more like Jesus. As you grow in faith, learn to orientate your life around God. The question I want to leave you with this evening, whether we're looking at community, whether we're looking at scripture or solitude, I want you to ask yourself the question, how is this forming me into a person of love, a person more like Jesus, to those around me, to those who I spend my time with, to those that know me best? Because that's what doing life together is all about as Christians. It's about growing as a community of believers to become more like Jesus. I'm going to invite the band back. We are going to sing a song that helps remind us that every day we need to choose Jesus. And before that, I'm going to pray. Father God, we thank you for the privilege it is to gather with one another to worship you. We pray that we will see more of you and we will want to respond with everything that we have. Fill us up and send us out to be your worshiping people. And whatever we do, that we will do it in your name.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.